good this morning. As we begin, I want to just start by asking the question, do you like puzzles? Are there any puzzle makers in the crowd? I know some people who, like, every Christmas, it is something they dedicate, like, a chunk of time to. They start the family puzzle. My parents puzzle all winter long, once they're farmers. So once harvest starts or feeding starts, it's, like, done till harvest time. But in those other off seasons, puzzling is a big part of their world. But truth be told, I really don't like puzzles. Personally, no judgment to those who do. I just kind of wonder, like, why we take beautiful pictures and then we make them 1,000 pieces, take them all apart only to put them back together again. And maybe people really enjoy this. And I know that my parents and people that I love do, just saying, not so much a puzzle person. However, I'm one of those weird people that loves IKEA furniture. I don't know why. It's like a puzzle. It's definitely a puzzle. But it's, like, useful. It was never once fully assembled. And you can put it all together and then, like, use it to sit on or eat on or whatever it is you're doing. I also love Lego. I'm a grown-up who loves Lego. When they invented that, like, Lego flowers, this was a good day for me because it felt like it was Lego intended for grown-ups like myself. And what I love, too, about that is it's never been together before. You take all of these little pieces and you follow the instructions to put it together to make something that looks beautiful. However, all of these things have something in common. They are things that aren't together that you can assemble, but we also, maybe if you've done this enough, you've reached a crisis point while doing a puzzle or IKEA furniture or Lego, where you, like, have put everything in place only to discover you can't finish it because there is a missing piece or a missing part. And you have that, like, stress moment when you've gone so far, but you can't quite get where you want to be going. I was one time assembling this huge IKEA wardrobe thing with my friend as she was starting a workplace in a new area. And we lugged this thing up the stairs and started to work on it. And we had all of the pieces, you know, you lay them out based on the letters or numbers or whatever is on it. And it was like night. It was probably 8:30 or so at the time. And we realized we could not find that, like, parts package that you need. And we started to take things and search. And then we were like, oh, no, we're never going to get it done. So we phoned IKEA panicking, being like, we just need to finish this tonight. It was very important that we finished it that night for some reason. I don't remember why. And so the very kind person at IKEA was like, if you can get here before closing time, we will have the parts package for you. And I maybe drove a little bit fast, but we made it at about 8:55, like, ran in full board, and they, like, knew we were coming. We obviously were the people who called. And the very gracious person gave us this parts package. And they said at the time, are you sure you checked the package? And we were like, yes, we've, like, checked every little thing that's here. It's not there. And about 9:15 or so when we got back and continued, we were pulling the cardboard pieces and went to put one away, and it was heavier than it should have been. And sure enough, there was the parts package in the, like, it was in a really inconspicuous spot. But I just want to say we had to do the walk of shame the next morning at IKEA as we returned the parts package and apologized and told them they were correct and thank you for being kind to us anyhow. But sometimes life feels like you don't have all the pieces. Like there's just no possible way to put it together the way that you want it to. It's like you see this picture on the box of what you expected. And as you start to assemble it, you're like, this is just not working out. I can't do it. And we have this panic feeling like what I thought was going to be is not my reality right now. And IKEA packages or IKEA furniture and Lego sets and puzzles, in the end, they're kind of inconveniences in life when that doesn't work out. But sometimes the picture of what we expected and what we're living is a lot more than an IKEA furniture set. Sometimes it affects our very life, our very being. It impacts everything about us. It's like this moment when your marriage or your family doesn't look like what you anticipated, or when your job isn't working out the way you expected, or you got, like, the perfect education you needed and then you couldn't find the job that you thought this education was going to take you to. It's when there's this disconnect between your reality and what you imagined or envisioned or pictured. And sometimes that happens with faith and with church and with these expectations we have around what following God's going to look like and then our reality that we live in. And today I want to linger here for just a little bit. It might feel like a really long time ago because we had Easter in between. But we have been journeying through the book of Ephesians. And today we're coming up to there's 6 chapters in Ephesians. We're coming up to the end of the first half. And so we had journeyed through these beginning verses in Ephesians. We talked about the way that God chose us and adopted us to be part of his family. We talked about this inheritance that he's prepared for us. We've talked about this unity that we're called to. We've talked about the mystery that was revealed as the curtain was torn, this new way of removing the dividing wall and allowing all people to come together. And we've talked about the church's call to be a display to the world. And so today we're going to continue by finishing off this first half of the book of Ephesians. And if you brought your Bibles or if you're like a phone Bible person, you can turn to Ephesians 3:14, which is where we're going to begin. And it's this prayer, it's this beautiful prayer that Paul penned in this letter that he sent to the churches. It begins by reflecting back on what was, on all of the things Paul had said on the journey we went through before Easter, where we talked about what Jesus had done. We talked about the good news. We talked about the body of believers and the cultural barriers being removed. It reflects back on this. You see, Paul had painted a picture of what being a Christian and of what church is intended to look like. But the reality is he's in jail currently. He's in house arrest because it wasn't the reality of what was happening all around. It's like there was this puzzle and some pieces were there. Definitely some pieces were there. It was beginning to take shape, but some pieces were missing altogether. Jesus' death on the cross had torn the curtain. It had removed the dividing wall. It had created this family that everyone was invited to be part of, but the world had not changed overnight. It's like looking at the picture on the box, but not being able to get there on your own. Theologically speaking, the barriers had been removed, but practically speaking, the world didn't operate that way. And maybe there are moments in your life when you're frustrated because there's this difference between the picture that you had or you envisioned or you hope for and the reality you live in. And if you can resonate with that sense of incongruence when what you pictured isn't your reality, I think you could maybe relate to Paul a little bit. Maybe that's part of why he penned this powerful prayer. And so let's look at it together. Turn to verse 14 with me. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Those first words, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. Those words, when I think of all this, they relate back to what's already been said. And I know before Easter was a long time ago, but we'll just think for a minute of what I've already reminded us of that was kind of spoken in there. Reflecting back on all that has been said so far, what Jesus has done, what we envision this looking like, what church should be, Paul falls to his knees and prays. Falling to one's knees is an act of surrender. But I also sense there's this like desperation that comes with it. I wonder if Paul falls to his knees because he could see what should be. And he saw what was. And it felt like this impossible gap to meet. Where do we go when it feels impossible? One of the reasons that I believe deep in my soul there has to be a God is because I am not okay with the brokenness in this world. I feel like we've been given this God-given yearning for justice, where there is a place with no more suffering or dying or pain, a place where we finally figure this unity piece out. But right now, it's like looking at the picture on the box and what should be, and then seeing our inability to quite reach it. And this discontent that I feel, it somehow assures me that we were created for something more. And when this tension between what is and what we live in feels too much, we can join Paul and fall to our knees. Look to the one who holds the future, where his kingdom will be what we yearn for. So when things are not as they should be, we can fall to our knees. We can fall to our knees because our reason for hope is not found in our own strength, but in our Heavenly Father, the creator of heaven and earth. And from our knees, this weight that we carry shifts to the one who actually can hold it. We can pray like Paul. And so today we're going to use this passage to look at how we can pray when it feels this way. Verse 16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. So let's talk about inner strength for a moment. How often do you go in prayer and ask for inner strength? Or are you a little more inclined to ask God for justice, to ask God to solve our problem, to ask God to physically save the day, to change something? Our inclination isn't towards asking him to give us inner strength. Our inclination is usually a little bit more like asking him to change our reality so that we don't actually have to need inner strength. We'd like to avoid the reasons that we need inner strength for. It's not generally our prayer request. We prefer to look strong on the outside and have things work out. Some of the quotes about strength that I searched up, just like what are some quotes of the day when it comes to strength, sound like this. You must always seem strong even when you're not. Never let them see weakness in advice attack. The appearance of strength is as important as strength itself. You don't have to be unbreakable. Just look like you are. Never show weakness. The only redemption is strength. There's this value in outer strength. Our world applauds the physically strong, yet underestimates, even undervalues inner strength. We want to be the masters of our futures, the champions of our stories, and yet maybe what we need is really quite different than that. When things aren't as they should be, we can find inner strength. The Bible uses phrases like inner strength or inner being to refer to the spiritual part of our nature. It's another way of referring to our heart, like not like the blood pumping organ, but our heart is in the controlling center within us. What helps us to understand life and to make decisions. God can bring renewal to our heart or our inner being despite our outer circumstances. Some of the most powerful moments I've had are with people who are actually dying but have found this like renewed inner strength in their spirits. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though we're outwardly wasting away. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Even if our physical body is growing weak, our inner being can continue to be strengthened. In considering this idea of inner strength, I found an illustration that I'd like to share with you. It compares two methods of dealing with external pressure. One is illustrated in what's called a bathysphere, which is like a miniature submarine. And it's used to explore the ocean places that are so deep that the water pressure there would crush a normal submarine, like an aluminum can. Bathyspheres compensate for extreme pressure with several inches of steel in thickness, which keep the water out, but they also make them really heavy and hard to maneuver. When they descend to the ocean floor, they turn their lights on and they look out of the thick glass window, the teeny one, so they can see. They look out to see fish. These fish cope with extreme pressure in an entirely different way. They don't build thick skins. They remain really flexible and free, and they compensate for outside pressure with equal pressure inside themselves. This illustration made me consider how I respond to pressure. So often I choose to harden my walls, put some armor on, get on my mask, and as a result, maybe I become a little bit heavy and hard to maneuver, like the bathysphere is. We can learn from the fish, though. We don't have to be hard and thick-skinned. We can allow our strength to be an inward sort of strength that allows God's pressure to be the reason we're strong inwardly. Maybe in a world that values looking so strong on the outside, what we really need is to become people who are strong inwardly. As Christ fills us, we then will be able to enter into places where the strongest looking people can't manage because he's the one filling us. Which leads to this next part of Paul's prayer in verse 16 and 17. We'll put it together. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, and your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. When things aren't as they should be, we can find inner strength and a love that grounds us. As I read these two verses together, I think of those little fish underwater, where their inner strength allows them to survive at ocean depths where a regular submarine wouldn't even be able to go. From his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength and make his home in your heart as you trust in him. This is the picture of inner strength that we were created for. Not a hard-walled, mechanically engineered structure for strength, but a Jesus-filled life that allows us to endure pressure because the strength is him within us, a much more powerful strength than any armor we could put on to protect ourselves. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 138:3. When I pray, God answers me. He encourages me by giving me the strength I need. Maybe our expectations of what answered prayer looks like needs to be expanded to consider this inner strength, this answer to prayer that he wants for us. And so when invited to, he will make his home in our hearts, and our roots will go down deep into his love and keep us strong. As the grass starts to turn green and things start to pop up in my garden, I'm like really excited to get out and dig in the dirt. I am definitely a farm girl. But I think that seeds are most interesting because essentially a seed exists because something has died. And then we put this seed down into the dark dirt. And from there, a root will go down and a plant will come up. And I wonder, as I consider this, perhaps part of what needs to die is our desire for outer strength so that our roots can go deep and find inner strength. Our roots can go down into his love, which is what we actually need to be strong in the way that we were created to be. An inner strength that's fertilized and fueled from love. Take a moment to consider the power of a tree root. When I go to the mountains, I'm always just in awe of the trees that somehow manage to live, stand, and stay on the side of a mountain where the winds blow. I don't know how they manage to root themselves in there so deeply to survive the weather they encounter. Or if you think about trees, tree roots even here in the city, they are strong enough to break apart rocks, lift up sidewalks, shut down sewage systems in old neighborhoods where roots wreak havoc on pipes. It's a kind of power that we don't really appreciate it when it wrecks our pipes and causes us trouble like that, but it's a power that we can't see. It's not this like muscled outside force. It's just this deep rooted, continuing, steadfast, always there kind of strength. And as a believer rooted in Jesus' love, we will have an ability to weather the storm in a way that changes our posture to life itself. The power of being rooted in love is different than what an outward strength will look like. One commentary stated it this way: to be rooted and grounded in love is to be established in love as a way of life. It leads to a life filled with kindness, selflessness, brokenness, and meekness. It's the life of Christ that finds expression in the believer. When things aren't as they should be, we can find inner strength and a love that grounds us. Because his love is truly beyond comprehension. As Paul continues in verse 18, it says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Paul is asking in this prayer that we would come to know what is essentially unknowable, that we'd have the power to understand what's beyond our ability to understand. And I wonder if sometimes this is why it's hard to put into words what God's love is like for us. It's beyond us in some ways to express. One commentary spoke to it this way. It said that there will always be depths of meaning that we haven't reached. We're dealing with truth beyond our ability to understand. And then it uses this analogy. It's like a thimble dipped in the ocean, filled with water. But how little of the ocean is in the thimble. This prayer is written to the churches. It's not just as we talk about God's love in this way, sometimes we like then distill this. We live in a world that's often all about me or you, individuals. And we look at this love and we make it our love, like my own. But it's really, this letter is written for the churches to be shared. And I think part of our understanding of God's love is experienced and understand more fully as we look at it as this corporate shared love. We don't need to compete for it. It's bountiful. It will never run out. Verse 19 continues, may you have the experience, or may you experience the love of Christ that's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. When things aren't as they should be, we can find inner strength, a love that grounds us, and a sense of wholeness through our Heavenly Father. Then you will be made complete. As I think back to where we began, talking about IKEA furniture, missing pieces, and puzzles without the final one, I wrestle with this idea of being complete. Because on this side of heaven, the yearnings we have for things to be the way we envision them to be won't be fully resolved. However, our inner being can be made complete. Verse 19 indicates that you can be made complete with the fullness and power that comes from God as you experience the love of Christ. You see, we can be made complete in an incomplete world. Our strength will look different. It will be an inner strength rather than this visible force of mighty power. Our power will look different, maybe a little more like the roots of the tree rather than this outward force. And our wholeness will be whole, not because everything is perfect around us, but because he has made our inner being complete with his love. When things aren't as they should be, we can find inner strength, a love that grounds us, and a sense of wholeness through our Heavenly Father. Paul's prayer then ends with words that I think we can all take to heart. Because sometimes this picture of what should be threatens to rob us of this experience of being inwardly complete. And when this happens, we can lean into the truth that's found in these concluding words of his prayer. Verse 20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The first three chapters of Ephesians painted this picture that we long for, we were designed for, we were created for. One where we understand what he's done for us and where we come together as this unified, diverse people. Where there's been this restoration under the cosmos, under Christ. And our current reality and our own individual ability to impact change sometimes makes it feel impossible. But in the same way that we ask God to show us and help us to know a love that surpasses knowledge, we're reminded that we can ask God to show us, or that we can trust him to have a view, a picture beyond what we can imagine. Because God remains God. He is able to do far more than we can even imagine or understand when it comes to making things right in the world. When we can't picture a solution, sometimes it's just like, I can't even imagine what would be okay, how this could be fixed. We can rest knowing he can, because he is God. Our hope need not be limited by what we can do with human hands. We get to be part of it, and we're given human hands for a reason, so don't stop doing things. But the hope for the church is not limited by human limitations. The hope for the world is not limited by human limitations, and the hope for your family is not limited by human limitations. When things aren't as they should be, we can find inner strength, a love that grounds us, a sense of wholeness through our Heavenly Father, and we can live as people of hope. And so in those moments when we maybe have that sense of despair, remember that even on Good Friday, Jesus' closest followers felt that way. But we're not stuck in Good Friday. One of the books I read in preparation for Easter had this quote that really has lingered with me this whole season. And it said, we are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. We live as people of hope because we are Easter people. It is a Good Friday world, but we're Easter people. He did die on the cross, and it was dark, and it did feel hopeless, but he can do more than we can ask or imagine. He did more then, and he can do more now. And so when things aren't as they should be, we can find inner strength, a love that grounds us, a sense of wholeness through our Heavenly Father, and we can live as Easter people, people of hope. And so as we conclude, here are a few things to consider this week. What do I need to do to experience the inner strength for the situations I find myself in right now? What can I do to expand my understanding, my experience of God's love? And are there ways in which I've limited my sense of hope in light of my own limitations? Let's pray. Father, creator of heaven and earth, we acknowledge that you can do more than we ask or imagine. You know the situations, the heartaches, the challenges that stir in each heart today. And we speak this truth to them. You can do more than we ask or imagine. And so, God, for each person today wrestling with what isn't, I pray Paul's prayer. Father, I pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, you will empower them with inner strength through your Spirit. Father, make their heart your home as they trust in you. Grow their roots down deep into your love and make them strong. And may they have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, how deep your love is. Father, may they experience the love of Christ that's too great to fully understand. Make us complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from you. Father, as we go this week, help us to lean into trust, knowing you can do more than we ask or imagine.